Hey everyone, thanks for tuning in. This is Danny. Welcome to the Bible Study Podcast. This is episode number 234. So I've been chewing on a thought for several days now, and I believe that this is going to, I hope, bring someone or some people a bit of encouragement. And though it is maybe something that is, you know, maybe debatable or could generate some discussion as to its implications or application, I think it is important for us to consider. And so I put this forward as something that I believe to be so, but do hope that its intention is to give encouragement and to give you some insight of its possibility. So we'll just jump right in. So I think that God would rather us be in a state of sorrowful brokenness over our shortcomings than to take away the possibility of that shortcoming and potentially then let us slip into the illusion that we have ascended and arrived at perfection, where there is pride and haughtiness wanting to consume us. So, you know, God is not afraid of our sin. Of course, He doesn't want us to sin. And I guess I should clarify this. This is for those who belong to God through Christ Jesus. Okay, so this is the audience that I'm speaking to, those who belong to the Father through Jesus Christ. This is to encourage you. Of course, He wants us to live in righteousness as He is righteous. But I believe that there is a sin worse than this remorseful vileness that we may encounter in our own lives as we are being perfected in Christ. There is a sin worse than this vileness that we experience in ourselves that causes us remorse. And it's this: deceptive ascendancy or deceptive perfection. See, Paul was kept from that place as well, from this place of arrived ascendancy. You know, to ascend is to go up. This an ascendancy is this idea of being elevated to this high place. Not so much in the sense of self-pride or self-confidence, but to rise up or to go above. So I suggest, and I think Scripture shows, that Paul was kept from that place as well, this place of deceptive ascendancy. So in 2 Corinthians 12, 1 through 10, Paul in this section is speaking on visions and revelations from the Lord. He does not name the man who has this third heaven and paradise encounter, though it is likely himself, and I think verse 6 and 7 seem to kind of confirm this indirectly to me, my perception. Paul is choosing to not boast in himself, except he goes on in those verses saying this. This is 2 Corinthians 12, 6 and 7. He says, "Even if I should choose to boast, I would not be a fool, because I would be speaking the truth. But I refrain, so no one will think more of me than is warranted by what I do or say, or because of these surpassingly great revelations. Therefore, in order to keep me from being conceited, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. So Paul here tells us this thorn was given him to keep him from growing conceited. Now, many people have sought to explain what the thorn was, and we could disagree about this thorn until the Lord returns, but I believe that the text shows clearly that the thorn was a messenger of Satan with the ambitions to torment Paul. Now, obviously, the devil or Satan would want Paul to slide into pride and conceit. So God was the one who, let's use the word, agendaed that this would come upon Paul. So now, visiting back what I said previously at the beginning, I think God would rather keep us in a state of sorrowful brokenness over our shortcomings than to take away the possibility of that shortcoming and let us slip into the illusion that we have ascended and arrived at perfection, where there is pride and haughtiness wanting to consume us. Now see, each one of us, we have problems unique to our personality, our situation. Now, these are moral failings that we struggle against more or less than other people struggle. Now, sometimes we stand strong against these failings, and sometimes we fall victim to these failings. Sometimes we inadvertently commit these failures, and sometimes we intentionally commit these moral failures. Now, does God wish or want this upon us? No. But who listening here has prayed over and over asking God, please take this weakness that seems to have a hold on me away? Who has asked God, why do you let this remain in me to be an issue that I have to fight against and, in reality, sometimes lose against? Why can't I just have this problem removed from me so that it's not even an option I must weigh? I mean, here is the place that I have found myself many times on this very question. So this is where I think God directed me in my thinking. Because if that was taken completely off the table, where it would not even be an option in my mind, but something of automatic avoidance, then it would remove my need for Him. I would find myself reaching out for Him far less, because I wouldn't need His strength, His guidance, His grace. If my thorn in my flesh was removed, I would certainly become arrogant and prideful that I am ascended to some elevated place. Possibly, I might even think of myself as perfect. Now, that is a quite dangerous place to be. Now, you and I know that I would be far from perfect, but you can sense how I may think I may have become perfect. It's a dangerous illusion. Now just think with me. If God removed from you, from before you, the most difficult thing in your life that you struggle against, if that was just pulled from you, no longer a struggle, no longer something even you had to resist or to even slow down over. But if God removed the most difficult thing from you, would you not think that you are a morally excellent Christian disciple? If this was something that you no longer had to fight against or try to resist, wouldn't you feel a sense of ascendance? I would. Now, as I begin to explore in my mind how this thought is biblical, I began to think of Paul's thorn in the flesh, which kept him out of pride. Now, surely he had to deal with some amount of pride. But if this thorn had been taken, surely he would have felt this ascendancy of arriving and perhaps not depending on God's grace to keep him. Now, let me be explicit. God may take from you a problem or a struggle. God may eventually remove an obstacle that seems to hang you up over and over and over. But if God doesn't, and you wonder why, I think this is why. Now, Paul pleaded with God. That's pretty strong language. God was pleaded by Paul three times to take away this thorn from him. But God said to Paul, quote, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness." Now, I believe that if things like this, if scripture like this weren't in the Bible, and someone made this claim, that person would be shredded to pieces by religiously minded people that very day they said it. Now, statements like this, they confound the thinking of man. And often they are repulsive to these religious, you know, Pharisaical type of church people. Paul, he had to correct the religious, even Roman minds, that grace, it's not a license to do as the flesh pleases. Grace is, give me some liberty here, is a cleansing ocean that purifies the drops of sin that make its way into our lives. Now, no one disputes that sin has made a powerful effect upon humanity. Sin changed things. And if one continues in a life of sin, it continues to make an effect, even catastrophic effects. But if you have given your life, put your faith in Jesus Christ, the one and only Savior, then you have access to this grace made available in the perfect one who did what humanity could not do. God said, "For my power is made perfect in weakness." Now just process that statement for one moment. There are some who would try and limit a statement like this to just something of infirmity or sickness or disease. "For my power is made perfect in infirmity or in sickness or disease." These are definitions of that Greek word for weakness. While those components are present in the original Greek word that Paul uses, it also comprises the English word weakness. Now, we see this word gain broader applications in the sense of flesh in Romans 6:19. says, I speak in human terms. This is Paul speaking in Romans. I speak in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you presented your members as slaves of uncleanness and of lawlessness leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves of righteousness for holiness. And we have also in Romans 8:26, which says, likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And then also we see it again in Hebrews 5, verse 2, which says, He can have compassion on those who are ignorant and going astray, since He Himself is also subject to weakness. So these verses, I believe, show us that this Greek word is not just limited to infirmity of the flesh, but also includes more broadly the weakness of the whole flesh in living less than God's intention. So I hope that you see in all of this encouragement. If you find yourself tripping over the same hurdles over and over, take courage. Be encouraged. God is using them to draw you closer to Him. You cannot overcome in your own effort and your own trying harder. That will not do it. I think that God would rather you be broken over your imperfections than to enter into this arrogant and proud sense of false perfection. It's not license to stay flawed. That is my attempts at hoping that gives you some insight into the why. Why do I keep struggling with the same thing? There is freedom in Christ. There is the release of these chains that seem to constantly weigh us down in our shortcomings. There is freedom. It's not an excuse to stay where you are. This is an encouragement that God sometimes keeps you from that freedom that you hope for, like we saw with Paul. He wanted free of this thing, but God said His grace is sufficient. Now, God sees you. God loves you. And keep walking with a fixed gaze upon Him. Ask Jesus to reveal Himself to you more deeply. Ask the Holy Spirit to teach you, to reveal Jesus to you more intimately. Ask for strength to endure, wisdom to understand, and the power to overcome. Reach for perfection from the life of consecration to Jesus through relationship and intimacy with Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And if or when you stumble, remember, His grace is sufficient if you belong to Him. Now, if you do not belong to Jesus, don't delay. Give your life to His leadership. Deny yourself, follow after Him, seek Him, and you will find Him. Let's just ask that God would reveal, you would reveal yourself to each and every one within the sound of my voice, both now and for years to come. May the Holy Spirit do the work that only He can do, so that the Lamb who is slain may receive the reward for His suffering. In Jesus' precious name, amen. So be it, Lord.